Well, welcome back, everybody. We always like to check and make sure that people are logging into what, Don?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And all the cool stuff that's there.
Yep.
Tons of links, tons of different fun stuff. And, of course, Facebook. Like us, please, over there as well. And those are the two main sites you can go to. And the nice part, too, is on that site you can pick up all the streaming and podcasts just at the click of the button.
Right.
And pick up any of the past shows. This is a show that you're going to want to click on. If you haven't caught it and you maybe not catch the whole thing, you are definitely going to want to click on it.
Tell your friends.
Yep, tell your friends. It's going to be fun. And the reason I say that, we happen to have head-to-head championship winner, Mr. Josh Wiesner, on the phone with us right now. Josh, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, guys.
You are here, and we are glad you're here. Thanks a ton for coming on with us. And
no problem.
Is it true? We're the first ones to actually get you on the radio.
Yeah, I have one tomorrow and the day after that. But you are the first ones, correct?
See, cutting edge. We are cutting edge. We are at what would you call it? The precipice? No, at the zenith. At the something.
We're in a studio.
Oh, they're in studio. That's okay. Where we're at. Never mind. All right, sounds good. So, Josh, head-to-head, if people hadn't heard about it, I know I've talked about it a number of times throughout the year. It is a completely different format. What's the concept behind it? What was the idea behind it from your perspective and signing up to do it?
Yeah, I think the concept behind it was just a completely different format in getting – it's basically a group of 32 selected anglers that are competing in, I believe we fished five events plus the champ, or maybe it was four events.
Four in the championship, yep.
And, you know, you fish the first, so there's 32 anglers, you fish the first 2 days in a normal event, and the top eight of them anglers after the 2 days go to the Great Eight, they call it,
mm-hmm.
where then they go into match play. So then it's first place that who's in first after day two goes against eighth place after day two, and it bounces back and forth until a winner is
declared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's bracket format fishing is what it really comes down to.
Correct. Yes.
And my big thing here is, and having fished on the FLW when we had 4 days on the walleye side where we had 4 day event. And it was a full forward, first 2 days qualified, then it goes to top 20, then it goes to top 10. When you get done at the end of that fourth day, as much as people don't understand it, I mean, it's as much mental drain because you get out the water, you're prepping. You've got to get ready. You've got, okay, did I have enough crankbaits? Do I have my lines tied? Do I have to re-spool? Do I have to do this? Is there a boat problem? Is there something I have to fix on my trailer? What's going on? So you're literally drained. How did it work out with this? I know you're done earlier. What are the real cool things that really give you some advantages that you didn't have before?
Well, the only, I don't know if there's any advantages. I mean, this is a very difficult series to fish. So we have no inside information, okay? We cannot talk to anybody 30 days before the event. If you do get information, you have to tell the whole group of 32. You cannot pre-fish it for 30 days ahead of time. So, the way the schedule sits, I mean, I didn't get to any one early the whole year. So it's hard that way. And then you only get 3 days to pre-fish ahead of the first day. So, and it's from sun up to sundown, basically, you get. So the first 3 days of pre-fish, you are fishing your butt off to try to figure out this new water,
Oh.
And yeah, I mean, that is honestly the hardest part. After the first day, which is Monday, you only fish till 1 o'clock. Okay, that's cut off. So that's like a day off almost. You only get mm-hmm. 5 hours to fish, but at 1 o'clock you're done, so you can get back, relax, get everything tied up, but you're still stressed out.
Oh, yeah.
You're warm. And if you make it all the way to the Friday in the Great Eight, I mean, you're super, you are drained completely. You are happy. It's over.
And I think one of the big advantages that you don't have to do is you don't have to be all taking off from the same point.
Correct.
And that is, in my mind, one of the biggest bonuses. And I think that's my reference earlier was really what makes it easier in that circuit to really compete and say, look, this is what's going to be the big difference. You get up early enough, you get out to your spot before you put lines in. As long as you're on your spot, you're ready to go on that spot. You're waiting for time to go in. They hit the clock and you start fishing right away. You don't have to go through 400 miles of, oh boy, you can trailer to that area, put your boat in the general area you're going to fish, set up and get ready to fish and be good to go.
Question, do they have a an official with every fisherman so they know where they're at?
Yes. So every person, all 32 from the start, get a marshal, okay? Right. And then after you get to the grade 8, it's actually called an official. But, yeah, there's a marshal with you at all times. The top 10 usually have cameras in the boat. So I have a camera every tournament.
They're actually weighing fish, which is my big thing. Because when you go to a certain area, you could find heavier fish. And I'm not about the length side of it. I'm about the weight. If you're catching heavier fish, you targeted the heavier fish, you deserve to have a heavier fish and a heavier weight than someone else. Absolutely. You can get skinny fish in certain areas. You and I both know that's one of those things that comes up. So that's a big deal. Now, let's get specific personally on your side of it. You're going into an event like bracketed fishing. What was your feeling on that? I mean, as far as, was it stressful every day? Was it, wonder what he's catching? Because they do let you know what the other guy's catching. So how did that come out as far as the emotional side of it? Was it a roller coaster or what?
Well, you kind of get a feel, you know. I mean, if the first 2 days isn't bracketed, you know, so you're against everybody and just trying to accumulate the most weight them first 2 days. And so you kind of get a feel for things. And after them 2 days, you know who's really whacking them and who's mediocre, you know. So so you have a feel going in, and you're against an opposite, right? So first versus eighth. So you know if you're an eighth going against first, you gotta put on a show, you know. And yeah, I mean it's stressful. I mean I'm kind of just an easygoing guy that I just go fishing, and it is what it is, you know. I mean, I'm gonna fish as hard as I can, and whatever happens, happens, you know. And some guys really get worked up about it, though, and I'm not one of them guys.
You know, Josh, I think one of the things, too, that comes up when you look at some of the bites that you guys had, I don't know how you cannot be stressed out. I mean, I'm looking at the number of zeros and one fish and two fish. Everything comes down to a one fish scenario or two fish that's going to make you or help you move on to the next day. That's stress just me watching, not much less in the boat. I mean, how does that work?
Yeah. No, it's been the schedule we had this year was probably the worst tournament schedule I've ever fished in my whole career. and it wasn't because of the schedule. It was a Mother Nature thing. So the rivers had no flow. The lakes were down, like Nebraska was down 30 feet. You know, I mean, it just is not, it didn't set up right for anything, you know.
Well, and
the championship had, you know, still 65, 67 degrees in fall, which, you know, was supposed to be a fall bite. It was a late summer pattern. I mean, it was just, everything was messed up this year.
So you're in Chautauqua. Was it Lake Chautauqua or Chautauqua Lake? I remember I was reading an article and somebody said, you don't say it this way, you have to say it this way.
Yeah, it's Chautauqua Lake. And if you don't say that, they get angry with you. So... Chautauqua Lake.
And that's in New York?
Yeah.
That's in New York, yeah.
All right, so let's paint the picture for you. The one day you go out, you're going against Wilson was the first day, correct? Wasn't that the first?
No, I had Mike Hansen the first day.
Okay, Mike Hansen, you got past Mike Hansen. What was your weight the first day with Mike?
We actually went into Dinkfest. It was blowing like 25, and I had a weed bite on a weed edge going.
Ouch.
And I could barely fit, and I was on the north end of the lake, and it was a south wind. It was pretty brutal, but I lost a good fish, like a 2.5-pounder, and then we went into Dinkfest, and then I ended up catching one dink, like a pound and a half, and he didn't catch any, luckily, and I made it through.
So this is the way it works. Dinkfest is after a certain time. You have to keep anything over 2 pounds. You can't keep anything under.
Prior to 11 o'clock.
Yep, prior to 11. If nobody catches one, that's over 2 pounds, it goes to Dinkfest. If one person catches, then it will not go to Dinkfest. So then it's a matter of...
So can you catch as many as you want?
As many as you want at that point.
At that point.
Any type 11. Of... Any size counts, yeah, and they'll weigh them.
I'm getting stressful already.
I know. So then you went on to Wilson. Max has had a great year. He's caught a ton of fish. He's done well. You're going against Max Wilson. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, we had a side bet and everything.
I never would have guessed that.
The lake laid down. I was, like, jacked up for that day, and... I knew what he was doing because we all pre-fished, and the lake wasn't that big. It was big enough, but it wasn't huge. So we all knew what each other were doing. He was fishing deep, and I was fishing shallow. And at any time, he could have caught on. You know, I knew there were fish where he was, but they were not biting like they should have been.
Right.
You know? So I was excited that I could work the weed line how I wanted to, and they were not cooperating. And luckily... right before Dinkfest happened, none of us had a fish. And right before that, I caught a 2.5 or something like that. And he just happened to not catch one the whole time. So that it was just a lucky deal there.
All right. So now this is the fun part. Now let's move on to your next bracket. You were fishing against who?
I had Isaac, the next hammer.
Okay. Now, Isaac, this guy's like the king of all on the head-to-head deal. He's won more... Had more points, the whole thing. He's just rocking.
Angler of the year, yeah.
Angler of the year. You got to be thinking, oh, crap. And you go out there and do what?
Not really. I wasn't thinking, oh, crap, because I knew I could compete with him, you know, but I was thinking actually for the next day if I would make it. So I went into the Isaac match thinking I have nothing to lose. Worst case, I get fourth place. And if I find something special, I win the tournament. So, yeah, I went out that morning, and it was crazy foggy, and I'm dry. So we can go out as early as we can. So when I got there in the morning, prior to that, we were just going out like when it got, because we started at 8 o'clock. So we were going about 7:30. We were launching our boats just because we already had plans, right? So when I got there at 6:30, I said, hey, we're leaving right away, guys. So let's get in the boat. We're going to launch. And we took off in the dark, and we got up to the spot, and I just happened to see some birds dive bombing.
Good
seagulls.
Sign.
Yeah, and it was on the way to where I was going, so I stopped, and it was crazy foggy, too, and I'm sitting there watching these things, and then I look, and there's like a dozen or 10 or a dozen cormorants sitting there, too, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's it. I'm starting here for sure. So I just started live scoping because we can do all the searching we want ahead of time. So the Garmin live scope came out, and I just worked that 10-foot range, and there were fish in 10 feet, and I went into 5-4 feet, and there were fish in there too. So I pulled back out, and I decided that's where I was going to start.
And you had what for that weight for that day?
Well, they were biting. So my first fish was 5.7. That was the big fish of the whole tournament, which won me a power pole. Yeah, I think I had 13 pounds in about 20 minutes, and then I stopped fishing at 10:30, and I had 28 pounds that day. So,
like I said, Don's look, his eyeballs just about popped out of his head. It's impressive, and that's one of the things that you just don't know if somebody could light him up and move on. And needless to say, you made it to the final bracket. You went against Joe Okada, who seems to be snake bit. He can't quite get it done. An amazing angler, and really kind of a cool thing, and I got to tell you, impressive to watch. And you guys can go back. We can all go back and watch it, which is great on head-to-head. We'll have the link on our website, and pretty neat deal, and a lot of fun, and we'll definitely be having you on again, I suspect, with your angling abilities. And, of course, you work with you own the boat dock, and that's in Wisconsin.
I do.
And got to put that out there, promote that, obviously, and did a lot of help.
Yeah, anybody looking for a Ranger or a Triton, let us know. We sell boats all across the whole country. Very busy place, but we'll take care of you.
Sounds great. I appreciate that tons. Thanks for coming on with us. Josh, you are the man, and for a year, you are the champion. Thanks, man. Appreciate you coming on.
Congratulations.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
You bet. Thank you. All right, we'll be back with more Valley Outdoors right after this. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Donald, I got to tell you.
Yes.
Just talking about it gets me nervous.
Yeah, it sounds like fun if you have that competitive itch like some of you have.
Yeah,
I'm more like Josh. I just enjoy the sport
he's,
of fishing.
Trust me, he says he's just kicked back and it is what it is. Yeah, I got news for you.
Yeah,
you're not in that unless you're competitive. There's right. No way around it. I mean, you're during that tournament. You're sitting there, and you can find out what the other guy's doing. Can you imagine being his competitor, Isaac?
Yeah,
sitting there going, he's got 28 pounds at like 10:30.
Well, let's go back to the dock.
What do you do?
Go back to the dock.
Granted, if you get on the right fish, but come on. You can't quit, Don. You got to make a showing.
No, just fish from the dock.
Just fish from the dock. Same result.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that doesn't work.
Okay.
Yeah, nice try, though. Nice try. So anyway, that was nice to have him on, and really kind of a neat guy.
Yeah, and congratulations again.
Yeah, very cool. Real quick note, out of South Dakota, they're excited. I talked to one of our guys recently,
yep.
to Mike out at the
Grand Lodge,
and Ron Sherrill is going to, I got them hooked up. I talked to Ron last night, and they're going to hook up and do a TV show, and now they're going to do another Flush episode out at the Grand Lodge, so I'm excited to get those guys going, so should be fun. But anyway, point is, South Dakota, they're pretty excited. They think they got some good numbers, and as far as the birds go, and hunters harvesting over 1 million birds in 2020, and they're expecting them to be even better this year with a mild winter, dry spring and summer. They could have some record number of pheasants right now, so
yep. They're excited. And the opener was this past weekend, so yeah. There's a lot of weekends yet to get out there and hunt if you like.
We'll call and get some reports from them and see what the status is and see what's happening out in South Dakota for the pheasant. But again, thank you guys for joining us. For me, Eric, Ava, and Don, we are the Valley Outdoors. We will see you next week. And who knows what we're going to have going on next week, but it's going to be fun. And enjoy the outdoors this weekend, would you? Please. Later. Bye.